And for those of you who don't regularly worship with us, we hope you can enter into this worship experience and be blessed today. All of us bring to this service this morning our own world. For some of us, this past week has been pretty much normal. Nothing major happened. Life, as far as we're concerned, is pretty much like it ought to be. For others of us, the world has seemed to come crashing down. How do we make sense out of these things? As I was thinking about some of those things, I could think only of one scripture. And it's a scripture that points us to the fact that God speaks. God reveals himself. God wants us to hear. God wants us to listen. If you would, you may listen or you may turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read the first four verses of that passage. Be reading the King James, and I like the classic the classic language it uses here to describe it. So if it's not as clear as it would be in a more modern translation, you'll understand. But it's clear enough. It says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all the things of the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, the reason my heart was turned toward this scripture is because God has revealed himself. He revealed himself through the prophets, and then he revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. He mentions in verse 2 that he has appointed our Lord to be the heir of all things. And then in verse 4, he speaks a bit more about that inheritance. Now, the reason that I understand that this inheritance was given to our Lord was because he was obedient to his Father. And he submitted himself to his Father's will and later became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so here we have our Lord, who we sometimes, I think, maybe mistakenly say, of his own volition, came to this earth and gave himself. Now, that is true. It was of his own volition on the one hand, but remember, the Father sent him. John 3:16 makes it clear that the love came from the Father to send the Son. And then the Son surrendered his will to the Father. There is blessing in volunteering for something. There is blessing in giving up, or in doing something because we want to do it. That's why, no, I'm not sure that's quite correct. I won't even go there. But let me say this, that there is greater blessing in taking the wishes of someone else and submitting ourselves to that person's wishes to accomplish a purpose. Okay. Am I making sense? Do you understand the difference between just simply saying, I will do this because I want to do it, and having someone tell us, would you please do this? And sort of against our wishes and better knowledge, we say, we will. If we're to receive a blessing, however, we do it in surrender to the other person's wishes. That's what our Lord did. Later in this book, we come to chapter 11, where it speaks about the heroes of faith, and these were men who came to an understanding of who God is and how God wants to work, and they surrendered themselves to the will of God. Some of them were delivered marvelously; others were not. And so does our receiving and doing the things that God wants automatically bring the kind of blessing that we tend to think of as blessing in the Western world today? Well, faith is an extremely important part of our everyday walk of life. It's how we meet the challenges that are before us. And sometimes when our world seems to crumble, it is faith that carries us through. Think with me a little bit about faith. I think there are several definitions of faith. And there's a broad definition that simply would say that faith is believing something without concrete facts to substantiate what we're believing. That's a pretty broad, that's faith in a pretty broad sense. And that faith can sometimes be a faith that insists on defending a certain perspective, and maybe even arrogantly defending it. Even though you don't have the facts to prove it, you still defend it. And you could probably think of different things that would include. I would just submit that one would be the belief in evolution as a part of the origins of human life, or as a part of the process of human development, I should say. And that kind of a faith wishes to come to the defense of that perspective. There is, however, another kind of faith. In a narrow sense, faith is receiving truth about something that doesn't make sense to us. And it's in that faith, there is an element of surrender. Much like the difference between volunteering to doing something and submitting ourselves to the wishes of another and doing it. Well, why am I using this for a basis for what I want to break to you this morning? Crucial to our ability to understand who God is, we come to a surrender of the things that sometimes are very dear to us. And we say, God, we simply submit ourselves to the circumstances that you bring us. This week, our extended family and our own immediate family have been asked of the Lord, I think, to embrace some things that are tough, that we don't understand. 2 days ago, my sister-in-law Twyla learned the devastating news that the biopsy that the doctor had taken shows positive for cancer. I would think that maybe the Yoder family has dealt with cancer often enough now. We have lost 5 in our extended family to cancer. 3 weeks ago, we were at the open house where the Henry Miller family gathered, and they were telling us how that they wanted to gather while all of their all of the siblings are still alive. They have a family of roughly the same size that we do, I think 11 or 12, and they've lost only one in-law. We have lost 5 family members to cancer. And I could say, why this? Why again? Why do we have to deal with this again? While cancer has not been friendly to our family, it does call us to come to God and to submit ourselves, to surrender ourselves to God's intention and God's purposes. We don't know how the Lord wants to shape us. It's not that I think we are more deserving of cancer. I mean, maybe that's arrogant. But I believe God continues to want to shape us after His image. He wants us to teach things about Himself. And maybe we don't learn easily. I'm not sure. And so as you stand around Joe and Twyla and the family, you will wonder how they are doing because you'd like to help. It's a part of life that God has brought to visit them and us. About the same time, John and Renita, who we've been keeping updated about, have decided, with the help of other people close to them, that it is time to come, that it's time to return to the States. And if you can give me about 2 minutes, I would just like to give you just a quick update of what has transpired. You remember that last week I said how that Maria had seen 2 masked men and reported it to her mother. Her mother reported it to a neighbor. The neighbor told a friend of his then who obviously maybe I should say that the masked men's intention had been to kill a man in the community there. And this man was informed through this circuitous route, starting with a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, of what was happening. And so this now, sort of rather unwittingly, this wrapped John's up into the gang violence, because they had stepped in front of, or they were a part of a plan to thwart this murder. So John's left. They slept other places for several nights, out of fear, just not knowing what to expect. And on Friday, they then had a meeting with a number of the church people and some of the unit, some of the missionaries. And they had been praying for clarity from the Lord as to what they should do. And it just really was not shaking out in the meeting as perfectly clear that they should really be packing up and leaving. During the meeting, they got a phone call from someone at the unit house in San Salvador reporting that someone who identified himself as a policeman had called and said that their property had been broken into as well as their house, and the inhabitants are gone. And that ended the meeting very abruptly, and they went to check out things, and that is indeed what had happened. They had snipped the lock on the gate. They had broken into the house, but they had taken absolutely nothing. And so the message to those who understand the gang violence in El Salvador better than I do is this: don't mess with what we're trying to do and get out. And so, in sort of an unusual twist of events, it became very, very clear that John and Renita's time at Las Delicias is done. What the future holds, we don't really know. And felt like at least some explanation to you as a body is appropriate. They'll probably be back by next Sunday if plans hold. Well, how do we address these things? As believers, as Western believers, we often have, and sometimes we even treat Bible principle this way, that our choices and our behavior is what controls our circumstances. And sometimes we do better at looking at Bible principle as this is the way things work generally. A little like Proverbs, but not necessarily always a promise. And so both for Joe's family and for John's family, there's just things that we don't have to know. And we're just better off if we don't try to figure everything out. But come back to this whole concept that faith in God, that is true faith, is both life-changing and life-giving. And that means that as we surrender ourselves to the circumstances that God brings our way, we understand God in a bigger way than we ever have. And one day, the mysteries will be entirely wiped away, I believe. Even the heroes of faith didn't understand everything that happened to them, but they, by faith, reached the goal. May you and I be faithful as well. Shall we just bow our heads for a word of prayer? Eternal Father, we are so grateful this morning that you are a loving God, that you care, that you provide for us. And even in times that are hard, that you are paying attention. Thank you for the reminder in the first hymn we sung this morning about the Spirit of love. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence among us. And may you guide us today in our thoughts, in our words, our actions. And may our hearts today come in worship to you, O Father, for the things that you give us, but more than that, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. He wants us to put our faith in